Oh, yeah. Welcome to episode 181 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes the paranormal and the parapolitical. We'll get into some of that tonight, but I'm not alone tonight. How you doing, Homestead, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you back up in the saddle again, but you've been going at 100 miles an hour. We'll cover that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, there's some people out there actually thanking me, writing in, talking about how, yeah, man, I'm glad you brought up that thing about the beans and some of the other dry goods. Handle all those things yourself. And whatever you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest for your freeze-dried stuff. But also, y'all, they got some ballin' seeds. Michelle, would you concur with that?
Yep. We've started, we don't have it on video, but we've started a bunch of peas, tomatoes, and we've always had excellent success with Heaven's Harvest seeds.
Yeah, they say 85% germination rate, but it's been 100 for us.
Yeah, so. it's been excellent.
And since you're the one that does primarily that, how does it line up with a lot of the big name seed companies out there?
It exceeds most of them, especially there's one seed company specifically that their germination rates are horrendous. But like, I have never had any issues with Heaven's Harvest. They've always had excellent germination rates.
Yeah, so check them out, y'all. Like I said, as always, source everything you can yourself. Whatever you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest. And remember, promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. And if you would like to go over there and tip a pimp on the fountain app, you can do it over there. Look, they got a derivation of Bitcoin over there called SATs or Sats or Satoshis. I think I got that right. Anyway, you can do it all over there in the fountain app, so you can drop some SATs on some PIMPs. That's what I'm talking about. So, been a busy few days around here, huh?
Yes, it has.
Well, let me just ask you right off. What's your opinion regarding this? I got to bring it up because it's like, it was top of the news, but the stock market barely noticed. And I'm talking about the bridge collapse over there. Do you have any opinions on that, honey? Don't couch anything. We're not live on YouTube. You can say whatever you want.
It's suspect. Something is up. I'm not buying the official story.
Well, you watched the video, didn't you?
Yes. And I know that they're saying the ship lost power. I understand that. However, it was heading in one direction and flipped around and ran into the bridge. I know that what they're saying. I'm having a hard time believing it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to go back to Laura Logan, who's been an intrepid reporter long before any of these. Now you look at any of the women on Fox News; they're all 20 somethings, and I'm like, okay, how much experience do you have in the world to be doing any of this stuff? Laura Logan's been at this a long, long time, basically cut her own throat by telling the truth. And she's basically, if you don't know already, folks, I mean, she's out there saying, look, everybody, boy, I'm sure she's got a lot of underground contacts in the government. And they are absolutely positively sure, according to her, that this was definitely a cyber attack. If you look at it, I'm like, man, I had to watch that video. I finally got around to it yesterday, last night, as a matter of fact. And I'm watching this and I'm like, man, that thing just came down awful easy, man. I would have thought, you know, it would have taken a little bit more. And with my former career in the military, taking down bridges is something we were very, very good at doing as a sapper. In fact, like I said, I mean, I tried, in fact, successfully, and I better not even say this, well, I tried to do something with a Royal Gorge Bridge in for a training mission. But yeah, part of doing that was what we did. And I'm like, it just happened to hit the right abutment at the right time in the right place. And the whole thing, it almost didn't even look real.
No, it didn't. The bridge, it's scary how easy that bridge came down.
I know. It was like that thing hit it and then it all just like came apart, the entire thing. And I'm like, Well, after it was inspected last year, what was it? Out of a 10, the thing scored a 6. So it wasn't the worst bridge in America.
Yeah. And all of our bridges, aren't all of our bridges in America, they need maintenance.
Yeah. And that infrastructure bill that just passed, not a dime has gone into any of this stuff. And folks, I mean, look, we live in a kleptocracy. Yeah. I think that's what they're calling it. Anyway, y'all, I said all that to say this. Look, the stock market barely even noticed that this thing collapsed. Now, there's a whole lot of critical things that go in and out of there. And people are saying, oh, it's going to be down for a month. Man, I'm telling you what, the U.S. Navy, all they got to do is clear some lanes. They will have that thing cleared up probably in a month. So traffic will be going in and out of there in terms of ship traffic. But good luck getting across that river. I mean, you know, driving, that thing was over a mile long and all of it came down. I'm thinking, okay, is this payback for what just happened in Russia? I can't help but wonder.
Excellent question.
Nobody's talking about that, but I'm like, okay, nobody's even talking about the Russia thing anymore, obviously. And I'm like, okay, maybe the Russians said, okay, you guys set up Al-Qaeda or what are they got now, ISIS or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys send over ISIS. Look, we're going to do a little number on you guys and see how you like it. So it wouldn't shock me if this was tit for tat. And honestly, you know, you got people like Michael Flynn saying, oh, this is a black swan. I don't think it is. Like I said, if this is a black swan moment, how come the stock market doesn't display it? So I don't think he's right. I mean, yeah, just because he's a general doesn't make him right, folks. In fact, if you're a general, 9 times out of 10, in most cases, you're probably a scumbag politician.
Or even, I mean, you don't even have to be a general. Some of the higher ranking, you're a politician at that point.
Yeah, yeah. When you get up past major, you know, you're definitely, to a certain extent, you're involved in some politics. So you didn't become a general. I'm not saying he is. I know one thing. I got a lot of red flags concerning Michael Flynn, and I can point him out too, but I won't stay on that anymore. All I'm saying is if this is such a black swan moment, why is the stock market not talking about it? All right. So other things we got going on, we'll talk about some real farm news here, but I had to cover that. And if you haven't listened to Laura Logan regarding this, folks, like I said, she's been right on this stuff. I'd love to have her on this program one of these days and talk about, I mean, I don't know if she's into farming or anything like it, but I'd love to have her come on here and say on this show, you know, give her like, hey, don't couch anything. Just say it like it is, because I get a lot of messages from those of you out there that like the fact that we don't really couch anything. If I want to use the N-word, I'll use it. What you gonna do? Yeah, I should just go ahead and put it at the end of every sentence. Just yeah. We had a bridge collapse. We got some baby sheep. We're starting seeds. Boy, that would definitely then again, I don't care really. I'm beyond. I do care, obviously. I mean, there are lines I cross because those are lines I think shouldn't exist in the first place. But yeah, I'm not going to intentionally offend anybody, but sometimes I just might, not intentionally. Anyway, honey, let's talk about the baby sheep we got going on out there. Look, folks, I recorded this, but we have been so doggone busy. I haven't had a chance to actually edit it and put it up, which I was hoping to do today, but it might happen tomorrow. We'll see. But we had something of a prolapse on a sheep.
Yeah. So that's how it. Yes. So that's how it started. This one sheep we've got a sheep that had twins. She's an excellent mother. She's doing great. The second one has a prolapse. So you rigged up all of the.
Well,
the
let me rope back up and explain what a prolapse is, because there's a lot of guys out here that probably don't have a clue.
A prolapse is when a uterine prolapse is when part of that uterus starts to come out when the sheep is about to have a baby. So you see it sticking out. It's like a red, almost football looking thing coming out the backside of the sheep. So when you see it, you know, something's not right.
Either the animal's too heavy or they got a heavy load coming out of them. And she was probably too heavy.
Yeah, she's always been a little heavy. She's kind of short and round. I don't know how she's heavy on grass, though.
Well, I know this much. Well, now that we're getting closer and closer to the spring flush right now, grass is really starting to kick. I got them out there earlier than I intended, than I hoped. But, you know, the thing is, I took a rope. Now, they make a bunch of devices as far as correcting a prolapse. I'm sure you can find them easy enough online. And some of them sell them, like the one at Premier One. Sell one. You had one like put back for a while. I looked at it and I'm like, I ain't buying this. I ain't buying no baby sheep is coming through that little hole.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't know who designed this thing, but it was like, Premier One makes really good fences. But folks, you can go ahead and buy that thing that they sell all you want. But yeah, I'd like somebody to explain to me how a baby sheep is going to come out of that little hole.
But didn't the direction say you're supposed to remove it before?
It says on the directions that you can go ahead and that it should be more than adequate in most cases.
Yeah, it didn't look like it. And I'm like,
ain't no way on earth. This is type 2 nylon. It ain't stretching.
Yeah, there was no give. Like, there was very little give to it.
Yeah, so I hated it so much. I found this Irish dude online, and I wish I could give you attribution. I'll do it in the video for sure, but he did it. Now, if you want to know how to raise sheep, man, I'm going to go to the English and I'm going to go to the Irish, or basically anybody in Europe who's been doing this thing for generations. And when they had to deal with prolapses and stuff, guess what? They don't have nifty devices. So I'm something, ropes are my thing. I mean, I love ropes. I love knots. I love all those things. And when I saw the way this Irish dude did it, I'm like, okay, let me look at it. I watched the video a couple of times, kind of burned it into my head. And I'm like, okay, I know exactly how to not only do it, but I have a better understanding of knots than he does. And I know how to make it to where it's more secure. So never having done this before with a rope, I'm like, let's give it a shot. And sure enough, prolapse didn't come back anymore.
No.
Came out the next day. And what happened?
There's two baby lambs that she was in the sheep tractor and she's got two baby lambs up the hill that she just
left
must
them.
Have delivered. And it was like, my job's done. I'm going down to rest.
Yeah. So she was inside there and Michelle, I was gone doing something. I'll probably cover that in a little bit. I wasn't here at the time. I was actually helping Nathan Reynolds with something. And she calls up and says, oh man, we got a problem. That one. So anyway, we bottle fed them. What was it last night, right?
Yeah, yesterday when I found them, I fed them because I wasn't sure. I mean, the one wasn't even cleaned off. I don't even think she cleaned the one off. So I cleaned it off, got them in the corralled, and yeah, bottle fed them.
Well, yeah, that might have been a mistake. I mean, at first because, well, she clearly abandoned them. But I'll tell you the part that seems almost miraculous. So went down there. I started theorizing, okay, well, maybe having this little makeshift harness on her kind of messed everything up. So at first we basically put a halter on her, stick her up there, try to get her to milk. And she wasn't.
She had no interest. Acted like she was just irritated.
Yeah. Didn't want anything to do with it. And then last night we, of course, were feeding them every 3 hours and with a bottle. Then today, y'all, as sure as I'm talking to you right now, this happened today. I mean, just hours ago. So we're down there and I'm like, okay, let's give this another shot. I'd been praying that the Lord would just, you know, we have sheep that are healthy, robust. And then so far, three of the females have all had twins. And we got six total, four females, one male or two males. And before we went down there, I said, look, let's just try one more time. We took the sheep down there. It didn't take much to get her into the tractor. Now, another one had just had babies this morning.
Right. And the one that just had babies this morning, she was acting like she wasn't even interested in them either.
Right.
But like she's letting them, we put both of them in the sheep tractor. And
put a halter on both of them.
Right. And the two twins that were just born this morning just started nursing right away. And she seems like she's doing fine. All of them are doing fine.
It was like the nursing, the act of making them nurse kind of made them think, okay, I'm supposed to be mom now.
Yeah.
But the other one still wasn't coming around. Well, this time around, when we tried to latch, we're talking about the ones that had the one that had the prolapse. I'd prayed beforehand, Lord, please let this, if it's at all possible. And I'll be honest with you, man. I had a lot of doubt because I know that once you start bottle feeding, man, they ain't going back. It just comes too easily.
Especially when you show as little interest. It, like, she must have just had them and just walked, completely walked down the hill and just left them.
Yeah.
They were, I heard them before I saw them. I went out and heard something like the, obviously lambs crying that didn't sound right. And so she must have heard them and just was like, well,
the good side of all this is that we got her down there. She fought me a little bit, got her tied over to the cage, and then we latched them on. And then all of a sudden there was just like, I don't know what happened. It was the act of both of them nursing. I don't know if it was at the same time or whatever. All of a sudden it started. You'll notice, folks, when you have animals, they'll have a call and response. And before, there was almost nothing. And then we're thinking, okay, well, this is positive. Let's just kind of stand here and see what happens. So she's over there nosing them, which is something a mother, you know, a sheep always does. She's over there nosing around, and she didn't do that before. I'm like, okay, this is positive. So then Michelle's like, okay, man, I wish we had a place where we can, because she's like, I wish we had a place where we could just isolate them and just leave them in there. And I'm like, well, we got compost. The barn's kind of set up for compost making. So we basically went up the hill, took them up the hill, put them inside, basically made a makeshift place in the barn for them. And sure enough, I mean, you could not have convinced me. And this is where I'm saying, y'all, man, the Lord provides blessings in ways that even when I was doubting, I mean, man, I was rejoicing on the other end of it because I'm like, man, I had all this doubt and the Lord still answered my prayer. And sure enough, she's up there being a pretty good mom right now. They're nursing.
Yeah. And the lambs have figured out, it took them a little bit to figure out, you know, how to nurse. And at first she wasn't very patient with them. She wasn't letting them nurse, but eventually they're figuring it out and she's letting them. And it's like, it's like this light bulb went off in her head. Like, oh,
yeah.
This is how it's supposed to work.
I didn't know if it was a combination of the prolapse or, you know, having her rigged up that way. I don't know. I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, up until that point, I was like, okay, she's, for the prolapse alone, I should put her in the freezer, but I know how to deal with it. And I know how to deal with it successfully. So it's like up in the air right now. So that's not a wonderful trait you want to have in your animals, but it sometimes it can be genetic. Sometimes it could just be the load they're carrying or the weight they're carrying.
Yeah,
so,
and she's always been a little, I don't even know if she's just shorter. And so it just makes her look more round, I think.
Well, plus she has a lot of hair that she has to shed as well. But hey, you know, right now the Lord has answered my prayers and they're out in the barn and she's nursing, she's eating, she's doing, but she did in fact have a prolapse. I mean, man, that's, if you got half your gut sticking out of you, I mean, that's going to be a little bit traumatic too. But the good thing is all three moms all had twins and all of them are nursing. And it was, at first we were like, oh my goodness, man, this is not working out. So the Lord blesses you sometimes despite yourself. So yeah, they're off to a good start. And I'm going to be talking about something along that line in the main topic. So other things we got going on, y'all, I'm not kidding. Freeze dryer going 24/7. I'm not kidding. The only time it's not going, and even then it's going, is when it's thawing out. And then I got something else to put back in there. So folks, I'm not worried about a train derailment per se. I'm not worried about a eclipse. And like I said, I said this in my Bible study group that I have online. I was like, if anybody can find it, I don't know where it is. Find me one date in history where all the prognosticators of doom said something was going to happen and that it ever happened on that day that everybody's expecting it. So whatever day that is, what is it? The 7th?
Oh, you're talking about the eclipse? I think it's the 8th.
The 8th, whatever. whatever the case may be, I'm not, I mean, I'm not just going to put my guard down, but I'm not sitting here waiting with bated breath. And you can do what you want, but I'm just saying on what I'm doing right here, I'm just going to drive on the way it is. But look, before anybody was even talking about an eclipse or anything like it, we were full tilt preparedness for only 2 decades. So you could see this coming. Okay, is my timing perfect? No. But has anybody ever complained of having too much food? So, folks, that's why we got that. And we got a code for it. Well, we don't have a code, but we got a link down below if you want to get one.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sell freeze dryers, y'all. I'm really not. To me, it sells itself, especially when harvest rolls around. But instead of buying, if you want to buy ready-made freeze-dried meals, you knock yourself out. But I guarantee you, they're not even in the ballpark of anything we're making. I mean, not even in the ballpark. It's made exactly the way I want. And you might want to add a little salt if you wind up doing it. So anyway, yeah, that's some of the other stuff. We got other things going on around here, but we've been kind of laboring a little bit too long right now. So before we get into the good news, I want to remind you, Keeper of the Old Ways, that's going to be April 12th and 13th down in Dothan, Alabama. Mountain Readiness, I'm going to be there at that one, and that's going to be May 3rd through the 5th. And folks, I want to remind you, sponsor for this show is Redemption Shield, and Michelle's hogging the mat we got up here right now. I see you ain't sharing none of that. Yeah, so we got grounding mats, they got grounding everything, y'all. And we're a big believer in them. I've been a journeyman electrician for 25 years. And look, y'all, I'm here to tell you that of all the people out there that talked about grounding and shielding and all this other stuff, they're the only ones that actually respond and say, yeah, test it and let me know if it doesn't work so we can fix it. So that's why Gina over at Redemption Shield is the cat's meow in my view. And they got great stuff. They got great products. They do good work. And we use their products every single day. And it was quite pivotal for you on your 26.2 mile ruck march, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It shortened my recovery down to record time.
Yeah. Well, sorry about the noise there, y'all. So anyway, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So let's get into the good news. All right. So here's the first one. Essential spices and herbs for your food stockpile. Now, you should already have a bunch of this stuff on hand, but I'm going to kick out. I'm not necessarily going to go through all of them, but chili powder and cumin. Okay, you're not a big fan of cumin, but yeah.
Chili powder. I like cumin. Chili powder would not be at the top of my list to stockpile.
Yeah, she grew up in New York, folks. That's all I got to say.
How about some Italian seasoning at the top of that list?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you usually make that, but. No, I mean, honestly, you guys got candy taste buds back there. So when y'all eat anything from the South, you're sitting here swearing up and down, it's burning your, like our niece. Oh my goodness. You put paprika, just it looks red. It'll be smoked paprika on it. And it's, oh, this is hot. There ain't nothing hot about it, man. Anyway, cinnamon, a lot of great, wonderful things for cinnamon, especially for some of you out there, I think, with blood sugar issues. Garlic, it says lemon pepper, man. I don't know about all that one because I think there's a lot of junk in a lot of that stuff. A lot of freeze-dried onions or dehydrated onions. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, the fresh is better. Same thing with peppers. Obviously, salt. Now, even if you got to buy that Morton salt, which we don't even use that in the house, but what is that? Redmond's. Sea salt, Celtic sea salt. We use a lot of that.
Himalayan salt.
Well, a lot of that as of late, according to Gary Brecka and a number of others, are kind of leaning away from that Himalayan salt because they're saying that all kinds of crazy impurities in there.
You can't go wrong with Redmond.
Yeah. So you got to make sure you get the good salt. But if you're down to just getting that stuff off the shelf, man, it's better than nothing. There was a time they used to pay Roman soldiers in salt. I kid you not. That's why it's called salary. Yeah, for real. Turmeric. Yeah, use some of that every single day. That's what I'm talking about. So that's a short list. All right, Michelle, you might find this interesting. U.S. Army now seeking retirees to return to active duty. You going to raise your right hand again?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to ask. I'm just going to become a big Dr. Seuss fan. Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. I do not like green fatigues and jam. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I'm quite sure it didn't go quite that way. But anyway, look, check this out. So they're shooting. I am floored. Didn't they just dump a bunch of people out of the military because they didn't want to get a mandatory jab?
Right.
So now you're looking to start World War III, and you ain't got enough Joes to start it. And you're bringing in retirees, most of whom are, I don't know. I mean, things are kind of pretty bad for a lot of folks out there. It wouldn't shock me if a whole lot of people went right back in.
Maybe.
I mean, it wouldn't shock. I'm kind of laughing about it. I'm calling that good news because I'm hoping that we can't find the personnel. And the reason why I'm hoping this, folks, I know this sounds crazy from two soldiers sitting at a microphone here. If you can't fight a war, if you ain't got soldiers, so, you know, worry about the stuff, worry about our own border before you worry about a border in Ukraine or one in Israel. Or better still, Gaza, whatever the case may be. So, yeah. Do you think they're going to meet some quotas now?
I really hope not. I hope they don't. I hope people say, go fight your own war. That's what I really hope people say. I really hope people get to the point where they're tired of politicians sending them to ridiculous wars.
Yeah, like you said in that last video, Lindsey Graham, you get on the first thing smoking right over there. John McCain, yeah. A lot of interesting things you ought to find out about Mr. McCain before he died. I know you shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but that guy and the Hanoi Hilton and what really happened there, you really ought to look into it. And check out the work of Sidney Shanberg. You might find a lot of that stuff interesting, and you'll find out a lot of these people are not at all the sheep dip person they pretend to be. But yeah, I'm going to call that good news because you can't exactly – now, they will do a draft if need be.
Do what Muhammad Ali did.
Well, I know that all, had I known what I know now, I mean, the chances are very, very slim. We didn't have the information.
No.
I mean, I joined the Army right after watching my best friend and I watched Delta Force 2 and Navy SEALs and went down and signed up the next day. So it was because of the lack of information. Had I known about the work of Anthony Sutton, had I known about the work of all these intrepid researchers, yeah, there's a good chance I wouldn't have gone in knowing what I know, knowing what they were going to shoot us up with, knowing what they were going to do to us.
And that's not even the part for me. The part for me is that it's the government that uses military as they're just pawns to them. They don't care. And they do not care about the soldiers.
With that, I'll quote Henry Kissinger, who said to, you can go find it yourself. And the quote is, military men are big, stupid animals that should be used as tools for foreign policy. And we regard this guy. He was a butcher. He was a murderer. Operation Condor. Look into that. The man was a complete psychopath. He really was.
Yeah.
And there's so many others, too. In fact, the people that we laud most are really, this is why a lot of you folks really ought to go check out my man Scipio, Dispatches from Reality. I mean, this is exactly the stuff he's talking about. And honestly, his references are unimpeachable. I mean, the guy is really, really something else. If you want a quick, this is what I love about his program is that, and this is why I wanted him on the show so badly, is because he can knock out, you can get a PhD understanding about a particular topic in about an hour, and you're going to know it inside and out. And like I said, his source material is spot on. I would love to add a couple more to him that he might not know about, especially in terms of, he probably knows about Anthony Sutton, but he did one a little while ago, two-time Medal of Honor winner, Smedley Butler, War is a Racket. He did a show on that. So anyway, don't mean to belabor that point too much, but yeah, I'm going to call that one good news. So here's the third good news article. And I know some people are irritated by my position on this, but I'll defend it and I'll debate anybody that has anything to say about it. But Former President Trump says Israel made a big mistake bombing civilians in Gaza. Well, I'm glad he's owning that, but I would really love if he would own Operation Warp Speed. Or what some people call Operation War on the Sea. That's another, that's another story altogether. But, he's actually coming out saying, hey, big mistake.
Well, that's progress, I guess, because, I don't think he had that stance too long ago.
Yeah, so it was him, Bobby Kennedy. I'm like, man, I don't even understand. The only one that seems, I need to reach out and get him on the show is Dr. Shiva.
Yeah.
He's the only one running for president that I've heard so far. I mean, I don't recall ever having I'll take that back. I've given money to Ron Paul when he was running. And of course they railroaded him up one side and down the other. But honestly, I am seriously thinking about giving money to this dude. And I need to reach out to him and see about getting him on the show. Because I honestly believe, because he talks about systems thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is permaculture?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, everything he's talking about makes total sense. And I think if more people hear about him, if nothing else, at least check out his work, for crying out loud. This is a guy that invented email as a teenager. And he's wicked smart, incredible, incredible way to communicate. Now, he can be a little bit raw sometimes. Because
I like his names that he has for everybody.
Yeah, I like it too. It gets everybody's attention. I know that he typically doesn't speak that way, but he's doing it to get the attention. It's used for, look, profanity is only profanity because some royal said it was profanity. I don't use it because I think I have more imagination. It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to say blankety blankety blank blank blank, but. You know, you got to give a hat tip to a guy that says, instead of just cussing somebody out, he says, you know what? May your chain set lightly upon you. And may our countrymen forget that you were, I can't remember how it went, but basically it was a Samuel Adams quote. And I always thought, man, now that is a clever way to cuss somebody out.
Right.
Instead of
I think he knows who he's dealing with, the American population who needs it. Straight talk.
Yeah.
Like, and this is exactly what he thinks about the politicians.
Man, I really ought to get him on here because some of what he says has me cracking up.
Yeah. Him and Stu Peters come up with some good names for people.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to call that good news. At least that's progress in the right direction. And for all you folks out there saying, oh, well, there are a bunch of terrorists over there. I forget what the numbers are, but there's a whole lot of Palestinian Christians over there, too. So all of you Christians saying kill them all. You might want to reexamine what you're thinking there and also what you're saying. Because honestly, you go back to this whole October attack. This is why I came down like a ton of bricks on Dan Bongino, because there is not a soul alive that should with any military background or any security background whatsoever. If you are honest, there is no way that story Israel told about what happened can be true. It is a manufactured lie. It was a false flag. I don't know what it was exactly, but I know the official story was a manufactured lie. And then here it is. We got Congress people walking around in American Congress wearing the uniform of a foreign government.
Yeah.
But because it's Israel, nobody cares.
Yeah. Israel can do whatever and everybody thinks that's fine.
Let a guy go in that. I would love to see somebody stand up there, wear a foreign legion or wear a Canadian uniform or wear any other. American public would go absolutely stupid, but you wear it from Israel and it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And Israel gets a blank pass to do whatever they want. Murder as many civilians, hit as many hospitals, starve out as many people as they want. And the Christians here are cheering them on.
Yeah, saying, hey, burn them, kill them all. And this is coming from pastors.
Yeah.
This is coming from American pastors. And if I lose people over this, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because I'm drawing the line in the stand. Look, I'm all about, look, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. But you create a false flag D-Day invasion over there that should have been an impossibility. And then better still, you're going to tell me quick reaction forces can't make it there for 8 hours. And then we find out that, oh, all these stories about rapes and beheadings were complete manufactured lies. But you only heard the initial story. You don't hear about the retractions later on. Folks, you're being dogged. You're being lied to. Everything these polecats tell you is a manufactured lie, and I don't care what nation it's coming from. All right, with that said, y'all, we don't have anything from Eric tonight. He, like us, is running very, very thin, but I do want to give him a shout out and a thanks because, honestly, man, he has contributed so much to this show and to our family, really, because Eric is one of the most selfless people that you're ever going to find out there. So go check out ericsider.com. I'm wearing his shirt, right? I'm wearing, in fact, I'd say 80% of the time I'm wearing one of his shirts. I don't even wear Professor's Farm shirts because his shirts are legitimately conversation starters. You wear them out somewhere and, you know, the cool thing is one of my favorites is that Nitrogen Fixer shirt. And it's funny that all the people that have any understanding of permaculture will automatically start a conversation with you. So it's always pretty cool. So go check out Eric, y'all. I'm telling you what, I sure miss hearing his voice, man. And good night, man. So, Eric, I hope you get caught up. I know you're going at 100 miles an hour just like us, and we're a little bit sleep deprived, but you know what? I'm going to sleep very, very well tonight because, man, the Lord really blessed us out there.
Yes, and the taxes are done. So I'll sleep extremely well tonight.
So while we're on that, before we get into that topic, let me open this door because your silly cat is outside.
Yeah, I hear her out there meowing.
Making all this racket. Here she is right here. And now you're not even going to come in. Okay, so we got all the animals up in here now.
We just need two little lambs.
Negative. Yeah, why don't you tell everybody what you think about taxes?
What's wrong with a 10% flat tax? What is wrong with that? They make this system so convoluted. It should not take the amount of time to do taxes that it takes. I used to try to get people, I used to try to talk to people about the ridiculousness of, and people just give me this blank stare like, what is wrong with you? Like, something's wrong with you. It can't be our tax code.
Yeah, and nobody wants to go back and look at 1913, man. I try to get heady on some of this stuff with some people when they say, oh, it's your civic duty. Oh, is it?
No, it's not my civic duty to pay 50% plus in taxes.
Yeah, 50%. And you know what? Good night, y'all. I mean, we're looking at options. I'm just going to tell you straight. We're looking at options to see about being state nationals or something like that. Or I know there's a bunch of different ways to go about it. So we're examining it in every way possible. And I'm going to encourage a lot of you folks out there. I mean, if you're so inclined, what are you going to do with my tax money? And why are they taxing us anyway when you're just going to print the money anyway?
Yeah.
Why are you taxing me when you can just go ahead and go to the printing press like you're doing right now? Somehow they got money to hand out to all the illegals crossing the border. You got money to hand to Israel to go kill some Gazans. You got money to hand to
Ukraine
and then every other, man, I'll tell you what, man, I shudder to think what the history books are going to read 200 years from now. If there still is a planet by then, well, there will be, but hopefully it's not, you know, completely occupied by nothing but bacteria by that point at this rate. So anyway, before we get into the main topic, y'all, I had to have her touch on taxes because she's been real. You've been not very friendly the last couple of days. Yeah. And today's one of them. Yeah.
I will turn the job over to you at any time.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all, 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA EMP Shield. Y'all, I've been a 25 year IBEW journeyman electrician. And y'all, I'm here to tell you, EMP Shield didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them. That's a true story. Reached out to them because they make the best transient voltage surge suppressor times 10 on the market. And they got an ironclad guarantee. Look, y'all, lightning. I would have said lightning is your number one threat before now. But, so I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. Anyway, if an EMP jumps off, this thing can stand. It can withstand multiple attacks. And there's different grades of EMPs, but your number one threat is always going to be lightning. And if anything gets past this, goes downstream and Kentucky Fries, anything in your house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. So the only thing I can say to that is
tip a pip.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about. So empshield.com, promo code PERMA, get you $50 off. Go check them out today. All right. So, man, I'm really, really, really digging this topic, and I want to make a video on it ultimately, but our podcast audience is larger and way more dedicated. And by the way, folks, if you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review over there. It helps us. And, you know, tell other people about us, because the powers that shouldn't be don't, especially after the diatribe I just went on about Israel, you can believe they ain't nobody. Like I said, it's a country. Forget about your preconceived notions about anything else. It's a country. So anyway, with that said, go out there and leave us some 5-star reviews for anybody. Unless I'm hearing crickets out there, did I run everybody off? I'm not really caring, y'all. I'm just going to tell you the truth the way I see it. And, you know, like Jim Garrison said, let justice be done, though the heavens fall. And I don't care what your whatever is, not going to stand for murder, cold-blooded murder, no matter who's doing it. All right, so, man, I really wanted to do this show when it popped into my cabeza a while back. And the title of it is, $500 can feed your family indefinitely. Now, that seems a little bit over the top when at first glance, but let me qualify it. And it's all, I'm talking about sheep today. When I say feed your family, I'm talking in terms of meat. So check this out. I was over there hanging out with Nathan Reynolds. You saw me do a video with him a while back. He lives in an undisclosed location, the way things roll for him right now, okay? And he's designing it, and he's doing a lot of work over there. And so I go over there, and I'm helping out with a couple of things. And I'm looking at the area. They have sheep tractors over there that they got from the sheep tractor company. And there's 4 of them. And I'm sitting here looking at this field. It's a beautiful property. And they're just kind of looking at how best to lay things out. And I'm kind of offering my opinion on some things. And then, of course, Michelle blows up my phone telling me about this sheep that decides not to be a good mom. So I had to get on the first thing smoking, heading back. So I'm probably going to head back there at some point and continue. But look, here's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm sitting here looking at the area, and it was about 3 acres of open area in this particular spot. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and people say, oh, I don't have enough land. I don't have enough land. And I'm looking at this 3 acres, which, by the way, if you want a visual representation, an acre is roughly the size of a football field. Okay. So you got 3 football fields roughly put together. And I'm like, okay, do you have any idea how many in this one area, this 3-acre spot, do you have any idea how many trees, how many nuts, how much fruit, how many vegetables, how much sheep? And I was thinking, okay, $500, and, you know, it may not be from the best flock in the world. For about $500, you can get maybe 4 ewes and a ram. Or you don't even have to get the ram. You could just borrow the ram and just have them impregnated. Let's think about this. Okay, so let's say you bring them home. You got a $500 investment in it. Okay, let's say it's $400. It doesn't even matter. Let's say you get the ewes and you got the ram. We'll call it 5 for good, easy numbers. Now, we got 4. There's 2 of them still that haven't had their babies yet. And so far, we got twins out of each one. Is that always going to happen? No. Sometimes you do get triplets. Sometimes you just get one. But you can push them real hard and get, well, I wouldn't recommend it, but we'll let them get pregnant once a year. And if you got a good mom, she had twins. And let's say in our case, we got 4 girls, 2 boys out of the 6 so far. And they all look pretty good. Now think about this. You're always going to have boys that come out of some of the, obviously they're not all going to be girls. So you're going to have animals that you need to cull, and it could be a girl, it could be a bad mom, it could be anything. So you're going to need to cull those animals. Now, you could go ahead and bring it into a butcher shop if you want, or you can do my online course pay that money and then learn how to do it forever. Now think about that. For that $500 investment, if each one of them had, I don't know, let's say half of them had twins, you think about it, you're in the black in the very first year, depending on when you even got them. You're in the black right off the bat. If you just harvested all the rams out of there, your money ahead, you're filling your freezer. But I will say this. Here's where everybody screws up. They put way too many animals on not enough land.
Right.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the number one problem we see over and over and over again, right?
Yeah. They get all the animals all at once, and then they have problems.
And a lot of times you'll advise them not to do that, and they still do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's, I mean, William does a lot of consultations, and pretty sure he would agree with that, is that instead of taking a step back and saying, hey, let's start easy. Now, think about it. On that 3 acres out there, the grass isn't wonderful, but it can be. But if you were to start out, now think about this. Let's just say you had an acre, which is more than sufficient for four sheep. And let's say your ground isn't all that wonderful. Well, while it's not that wonderful, you only have four sheep. If you're rotating them the way you ought to be doing, well, what's going to happen to the ground, honey?
Your carrying capacity is going to be much higher. If you're letting some of that land rest, it's going to improve.
Yes. So now your carrying capacity, let's say it was four lambs when you first started. Well, by the time they have their, you run them out, you get them pregnant, and they have their babies 4.5 months later. Now, all of a sudden, you got a very different situation. Now you're in a position to where, oh, shoot, I need more sheep anyway because I've been rotating the way I should. And now my carrying capacity for this land has absolutely increased.
And the sheep that you have aren't eating all the grass. So you got to get more to eat.
And they've already had babies.
Right.
And so now that they're lactating and everything, okay, well, they're going to need some high quality milk. This is exactly what I'm talking about, folks. You can have a self-licking ice cream cone in terms of your preparedness and in terms of the food that you have on the hoof. Folks, I'm not bragging, but Michelle, I mean, do we have a problem with too much meat right now?
Yeah, we do.
And that's a good problem to have. I'm not saying this to brag, y'all. I'm saying this is that it is a function of good management. It is a function of, we've made a lot of mistakes over the years, a lot of colossal mistakes. But the number one mistake people make is putting too many animals out there. You're thinking, okay, I got 5 acres. Well, that 5 acres of clear ground is not going to have a milk cow. You're not going to have your sheep. You're not going to run goats. You're not going to do all that stuff without a great deal of inside or outside inputs.
Right.
That's where the problem lies, is that you got to look at the work of people like, obviously, Greg Judy. He has very easy to read books that'll get you squared away. Joel Salatin, Jim Gerrish, Kick the Hay Habit. I mean, that's been paradigm changing for us and how we graze around here. Right. So you can even stockpile forage and think about this. You can do it. You're not going to be an expert overnight, but by the act of doing it, you are going to get better. Case in point, never in my life have I made a rope harness to keep sheep from having prolapse. I've never done it before in my life. But not only did I do it, I made it even better, and it worked better than that doggone harness.
Yeah, yeah. Premier One.
Yeah, and I did it with a rope. Low tech.
Yeah, and it worked. She had babies and bought, like...
Yeah, but not to get sidetracked, the point being is that I didn't know how to do this until I did it. And it's the same thing when it comes to your grazing. Don't go out there and get 15 lambs and then expect to raise them all up unless you plan on eating them all or putting them all in the freezer. So even if you had a single acre, this is exactly what I'm getting at, folks. It hit me like a ton of bricks. For five, or let's say it was $400, and let's just say you borrowed somebody's ram long enough to get yours knocked up. Okay, let's kind of do that. I haven't done all the paperwork on this, but let's think about this. Lamb is probably the highest priced meat, and especially hair sheep, you ain't even going to find in a butcher shop. It's that good, but you can't even find it in a butcher shop, y'all. Not any butcher shop. We got high-end places around here.
I don't think they have hair sheep.
I ain't ever seen no Katahdin or St. Croix in any of these places. It's always going to be a mom-and-pop farmer, and believe me, it's the best meat on the planet. So, considering what I just said there, best meat on the planet, what do you think you're going to pay for the meat that you're able to raise? If you had to go in there and buy it like you typically do, cut by cut in the, let's say you were to go to Whole Foods or someplace like that, you are going to get the equivalent of that whole lamb would probably cost you, and I'm being conservative, probably $1,000. $1,000 if you were to buy all the parts and pieces of a lamb, bring it home, and I'm talking all of it. But if you do your, if all you did was put in the freezer the animals you cull and all of the rams that you can't use, you would never, ever, ever have to buy meat again. Now, I mean, that's provided you love lamb and that's all you want to eat. Now, clearly, in the best case scenario, obviously you'd have chickens chasing right. them. Okay, so you got eggs coming behind there. But on 1 acre, there is no reason you cannot easily run 4 lambs on a single acre.
Yeah.
There is no way on earth. I mean, even if it's not wonderful, you had to throw down hay the first year or maybe the first year or two. You're still money ahead because you didn't have to go buy a bunch of hay if you did your grazing right. And you didn't. Now, we did put down hay because these are areas that I'm recovering right now.
Well, yeah, they were also areas that
were decimated, really.
Yeah, William cleared a bunch of trees out of. So, yeah.
Right. And to outcompete the weeds that are going to want to pop up there, we had to intervene, and we did. And we are seeing massive improvement already. So you will, in some cases, make an investment of hay, but it's not a long-term thing. It's just you're doing it to get you through that, to get you through the area where you are, so in the future you don't ever have to buy hay again. That's why, or if you do, it's very, very minimal. And right now they're on 100%. I mean, we're throwing hay out there to use it up for the most part.
Well, we're also putting it on a couple bare spots, bare,
yeah, yeah, bare patches and stuff like that. But by and large, they are out there, and I'm not even sure they're going to be able to keep up. But this is why this program, folks, send it far and wide, because I am telling you. If you have a single acre, or let's say you think, okay, man, I want to expand this. Well, here's an idea you could use. Let's say you got a neighbor next to you. Maybe they don't want to mow their grass.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell them, look, man, I'll run my sheep over there and they'll eat it down for you. And they're going to fertilize all at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good ways you can go about this because people don't want to fool with this stuff anyway. Not when you got an animal that will gladly go out there and graze all this stuff for you. I mean, like I said, 500, Michelle, I'm being very conservative on my numbers here.
Yeah, and they're easy to manage.
Yes.
Especially when you compare them to goats.
Well, and how much more meat? Okay, so let's say you're running out of cow. It's going to take you 28 months on just grass right. alone. Okay, 28 months. How many sheep do you think a breeding pair could produce in that time? I guarantee I'm going to get, and plus, this is an animal you don't have to bring in to get processed.
Right.
You can do it on the homestead easily do it on the homestead. In fact, I'm hoping to do some more of this stuff. I mean, my bandwidth is pretty full right now, but I'm hoping to do more of this stuff in person. But folks, like I said, obviously you'd want to raise chickens out there too, but even if you are on an acre, because I'm sitting out here looking at this place with Nathan. And we laid out where, I mean, he and I were working together, laid out the orchard and how the animals will be integrated into the orchard. We laid out, and I'm like, okay, in this 3-acre area, you could feed easily 5 families once this thing is off and running. So folks, don't let the idea of thinking, oh, well, I don't have enough land or I don't have this, I don't have that. Believe me, you got more than enough. Like I said, a single acre, if you do your things right, should be enough for you to handle all you need. And then plus, if there are times you got to quarantine these animals, well, what are you going to do with all that bedding if you're here, honey? What are you going to make out of it?
So compost.
That's right. So even if you have to do a deep bedding method for a while, put them in a barn or whatever structure you have or in a covered area, you're still going to have the advantage of being able to use all the stuff they left behind. So folks, I want you to think about this. I seriously do. I had this epiphany yesterday and I knew this show was going to be about this because I know we're in that time. Look, I'm not one to just sit here and tell you all the problems that are going on without offering solutions, but it does require something out of you. You're going to have to go out there and practice moving your animals. And look, Michelle, you'll get a good laugh out of this. Would you call it real rotational grazing by moving them once every, I'm talking like a grazing animal, once every month?
No.
Once every 2 weeks?
No. No, because even the manure load,
yes,
it, like in a 2 week time is pretty high. I mean,
we don't let them sit past 3 days because that's when you start, that's when the parasites are going to start to develop.
Right.
You got 3 days, and then that's, and then of course your chickens will help break up that parasite cycle if you run them behind there, your ducks, whatever the case may be. But that's exactly what you, especially with sheep, you don't want them down next as low to the ground as possible. Right. You want them up high. And then also you want parasite resistant sheep, which is why we love hair sheep. So, you know, they already have that in there. And then the more holistically you run them, the better your results are going to be. And like I said, we don't ever leave anything in place for really more than 2 days, really. I mean, we go 3 days through the winter in certain paddocks. And then it's like right now, it's 1 day per paddock. Well,
So we do 1 day, add a net, and then move them the next day.
Right. So it's like a 2 day rotation. And it's really not, if we can do it here in these mountains, it can be done anywhere. It's just going to require, plus you're getting exercise out of it. So folks, what I'm saying is think about that. Think about the meat you can put on hoof. Easy to manage stuff. Meat is fantastic. There's not even a close second in my book. And all it requires is a little bit of elbow grease, a little bit of planning, and a lot of practice. You can do it. I guarantee. All right, so we're going to move into the Q&A section. But before we do, this part of the show is brought to you by TexasBoys.com. They got the Fearless podcast as well. They do a lot of great work over there, y'all. Go check them out. TexasBoys.com and promo code PERMA will get you 5% off anything they got at their online store. So check them out. And by the way, that's a good place where you can also buy halves and wholes, and they might even sell cuts. So go check out the TexasBoys.com and the Fearless podcast because they're like a brother podcast. I know people say sister this. No. Even Raul and them are saying brother podcast. We ain't playing no, ain't no Marianne's on this ship. Yeah. Ain't going to be rolling like that.
You should have had some sisters growing up. It would have done you good.
Well, I had cousins. I mean, that was close enough.
No, you didn't. No.
Yeah.
They weren't close enough.
All right, so check this out. All right, so Austin's saying, hey, Billy, hope all is going well. Wanted to follow up. I know you're busy this time of year. Boy, you got that right, but it's never too busy for y'all. I've been researching and adding more detail to my plan to present to my school boards, and my biggest hang-up right now is how to scale the size of the project. I messaged Jack Spearco as well, and he said, you've probably got the best insight, or me, I've probably got the best insight in this. If you were to estimate how many pounds of school cafeteria foods, how much food scraps do you think a flock of 5,150 birds can handle in daily without negatively impacting their health? All right, check this out. I don't know that we know that answer. I'm going to be honest with you because you got people like Carl Hammer at Vermont Composting where they're dumping this stuff out there by the tractor trailer load from these schools and stuff like this. Now, the beauty is that the chickens know what they want to eat. They won't knowingly eat something awful when they got options to eat something good. They know better than you and I. So I've never seen even things that were going rancid. They either won't eat it or they will derive their food from the compost pile in the chicken tractor on steroid system. Never, ever, ever had a problem with any bird in that system. In fact, they know they'll stop eating. Or, like I said, nearly all of their protein, they derive, unless you're using Cornish crosses, because they won't work in this system. But all of these birds will derive all of their protein, believe it or not, from that compost pile. That's where they're getting it from. And believe it or not, the stuff in the school cafeteria, is it the best in the world? No, but I wouldn't concern myself about any of that. I wouldn't anyway. I mean, and I haven't. You can go heavy. You just don't want to go so heavy on the food scraps, depending on the number of birds you have, that they're not able to work over the food and the pile. Because here's what happens. When you do it the way I've shown in the videos in the playlist on YouTube, whatever they don't eat gets covered up by
carbon
the very next day. So they're only going to eat what they want. So don't worry about putting too much necessarily out there. The problem is people don't cover it up with the carbon, and that's where your problems exist. So I really don't have a good answer on that. I just never seen a problem with it. They sort of self-regulate no matter what you put in there. I mean,
yeah, if they don't like it, they just won't touch it.
They won't touch it. And then it just becomes compost anyway.
Right.
So, and then believe it or not, they'll touch it on the back end when you're turning it into compost. So yeah, Chicken Tractor on steroids is a fantastic way to go about that. Hopefully that answered your question. Hey Billy, I just received some bare root apple stock. Planned on grafting scions to these, but the stock has already gone vegetative. Would it be okay to go ahead and plant the apple trees and graft them to new scions late next fall? Yeah, you can absolutely do that. We've actually have apple root stock down there growing, and it got away from us because we forgot to do that, but we can still do it. At this point, I'm hanging on to them because I'm wanting to take some of the apples and see if I can use some of them as seed. I'm doing something of an experiment with that. But yeah, there is absolutely no problem at all. You can plant that root stock, or you can use the root stock. You can lay it horizontal in the ground and grow more root stock from your root stock. That's a way of doing it too. You got a lot of options there. And yeah, you can absolutely do that. You can put it in the ground with the expectation that, hey, when fall rolls around, that's really not a bad idea at all. So yeah, kudos to you on that. So let's see here. Elizabeth says, I was listening to episode 181 and you mentioned buying dried beans instead of the canned beans. This is excellent advice. To add to that, 1 pound of dried pinto beans on Amazon is $1.81. And if you can this bag of beans, yeah, I mean, basically you can't, in a nutshell, basically you can't get a better deal than buying
dried. Yeah.
I mean, Michelle, we were buying, what were we paying? 30 some cents a pound for 100 pound bags of beans.
Yeah, I think
it was 30 something, but we had to buy them. You remember the name of that place in South Carolina?
Is it Hayes?
Hayes Foods.
Yeah.
They do business a weird way. They only work in cash, and they can be a pain in the butt, but for the deal, it was pretty doggone hard to beat. So that was 30 cents a pound. And these are beans that are, what are they, like grade one?
I
didn't even know beans had, they graded them this way, but they're like beans. These are like beans that only the high-end restaurants can get, apparently. And we're getting them for 30 cents a pound. So that's what the going rate was, y'all. So there's places out there. The Mormon canneries used to be a really good place for a lot of that stuff. But thanks to Obama, they shut all them down. And I hear they still operate, but in a very different way. Let's see here. Yeah. So let's see here. Man, I'm getting a little bit. Okay, so Matthew, we hear from Matthew quite a bit. Always a good joy to hear from him. He says, I completed Nicholas Bertner's PDC a while ago. That's at School of Permaculture. For anybody looking for a inexpensive permaculture design certificate, I highly recommend it. He did it a while ago, and Lord willing, he'll be getting his certificate pretty soon, right after he grades his final project. He says, I've also done Dr. Elaine Ingham's Soil Food Web Essentials course, and I'm currently studying the textbook on soil microscopy. Man, I love this kid. I've also been working on a farm for the past 7 or 8 months. I was wondering if you knew of any options on what could be next. Yeah, experience, Matthew.
As far as, is he wanting to do more education, or is he wanting to put all this to use, or what is he wanting specifically?
Well, I don't know, but he says, look, I'm going to just tell you this, Matthew, straight up. there's a whole lot of people. When you go to a lot of these conferences, it's really a good, it's a good thing for the most part. But here's what you come into, and Andy Frisella has talked about this a great deal, is that you go to conference after conference after conference, and you'll keep coming across the same people who haven't yet pulled the trigger on what it is they want to do. Man, I can't applaud. Man, you give me such joy and happiness, man. You went through, you got your PDC. Okay, bam. Just remember, and I'm not saying this to talk down to you, but this is a little quote we have in the electrical trade. We often say, the only thing dumber than a first-year apprentice is a first-year journeyman. Now, so be really careful. Just know that when you go out there and you put this stuff to work, that, yeah, you got all these feathers in your cap, but still at the end of the day, you got to put some foot to butt. You got to get working, and you got to get out there and get some experience. And that's what I really suggest you do, is that, yeah, keep driving on with all these different things. Keep doing all the things you need to do to educate yourself. Never, ever, ever stop on that. Because frankly, there's a whole lot of people doing this stuff and they forget about the educational component after a while. And I think that's a profound mistake. I think you need to keep learning. But get out there and put foot to butt. Even if it means you got to put down the learning for a while, I would go out there and get my nails dirty and go get some work under you. I mean, it's man, you keep driving on with what you're doing. But I'm going to tell you, I think you need to get some experience. I really do think you need that. So, Michelle, anything you want to add to that?
No, because I would just, this road too. Yeah, I would just say go work. And it sounds like he's working on a farm. So, yeah, I would just say put all that knowledge to use.
Yeah, if you can, even if it means borrowing somebody else's ground, man. I mean, even if it means doing something as simple as Jeff Lawton's instant garden, or you go out there and do some guerrilla gardening. Any and everywhere. This is exactly what I did, Matthew. When I was still working with my tools and I was still working, 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and I was working it nonstop. Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah.
And in all my spare time, and there was very little, I still built a food forest at the job. It was some of the earliest videos we did on YouTube. And I would garden and I would plant every and anywhere I possibly could just to do it. Even though I was working those crazy hours, because my dream, when I say permaculture is my passion, hey, just remember, dreams must be implemented with deeds. A guy with a whole lot of sense once wrote that. Dreams must be implemented with deeds. If this is the life I always wanted to do and I knew what it was, well, it means I got to work harder than ever to be able to achieve it. And it wasn't an overnight thing. But we got Michelle out first, then we got William out, then we got me out, and I picked up the rear last. And so there's no, you know, success escapes most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like hard work. Edison may have been a jerk on some ways, but actually he did say some really good things, and that's one of them. So for anybody out there that's looking to do this, yeah, keep the education up, man. You've got a real solid backbone. You know exactly what you ought to be doing, but it is no, like Joel Salatin always says, you can't Google experience. So now start putting some foot to butt and start doing your own projects on the side if you can. Like I said, even like back in Kansas, I was growing food forests out there at the VA hospital in Leavenworth, Kansas. There's food forests out there right behind the grounds building. Go look for it. It's out there. I planted it. Yeah. So anyway, don't know how much time I could spend on this one, but Mason says, just finished reading the Torah for the first time. Growing up, every Christian that I talked to, So in a nutshell, he's basically asking, what we're thinking about the Sabbath and stuff like that. I'll tell you straight up, Mason. I know you got a lot in here, but I don't believe I can cover it all the right. I don't believe I can cover it all. To me, we're still relatively new. What have we been doing the Sabbath for about a year, I guess, a little bit more. So. Yeah. And before that, because I love what I do so much, I would do it 7 days a week. And then William was the first one to say to me, hey, Dad, you know, even God took a day off. And I was like, dude, what I do may look like work to other people, but to me,
if you love doing it, you don't, there's always stuff to be done.
You're always at it.
Right.
And especially right now, as we're coming in the spring, I mean, we're going at 100 miles an hour And that's to be expected. But we never really slowed down, no matter the time of year. I know a lot of people take off for the winter and do whatever. We don't. No. We don't take any time off. So we force ourselves 6 o'clock roughly, or with sundown on Friday until Saturday. I ain't answering the phone. I ain't reading text messages. I ain't reading voicemail. I ain't doing nothing. I mean, I might talk onto a phone, but it ain't going to be business.
Yeah, it's just not business related.
Yeah. It'll be pleasure, unless there's some emergency, obviously. But outside of that, man, that's about the only downtime we ever take. And regarding some of the other things, I've been doing a deep dive in a lot of the... Now, the Sabbath, I get. Now, honoring these other Jewish holy days, I'm not with that. And I think I can provide a lot of reasons as to why we don't celebrate what, you know, this holiday coming up, Easter. Read The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and you'll never celebrate Easter again. And you know, I can give you all the reasons as to why. I'm not critical of other people that do. I just don't. You can call it whatever you want, but I know what that day was really meant for.
Right. And like, we also have that information. So because we have that information, we're responsible for what we do. And now that I have it, I don't feel right about celebrating Easter
or Christmas.
Right.
Or, I mean, the only holidays we really celebrate is 4th of July, because we get to blow stuff up, and Thanksgiving, because I can't find anything negative in that. I'm sure if you look deep enough, I'm sure
you haven't looked deep enough.
Well, I'm sure there's something there, but at the end of the day, we don't really celebrate any holidays. And I'm not really into celebrating these Jewish feasts, because I'm like, okay, for me, in the work I'm doing so far, I'm realizing that Jesus did all the work on the cross. So I don't understand why we're going backwards. If you read Galatians, and Paul, I mean, it is plain as the nose on my face to me with so many of these things. And it seems to me that for me, it ain't making sense to go into any of these other holy days that other people celebrate, because, I mean, like I said, just read Galatians. Seems pretty straight to me. And but the Sabbath seems pretty straight up to me. So, you know, it's the one day of rest we have, and it seems like that's the day people want to text me most. And I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to respond. I'm not doing anything, because every time people get a dopamine rush when they hear the phone go off. Well, for me, it doesn't do that.
I just get anxiety when the phone goes off.
Yeah. I don't get excited about that. In fact, if we can get away with a landline, and I seriously considered it, and I'm still thinking about it. We got along just fine with them before, and just look at email when it's available. But anyway, going back to your point. He's Jesus to me. I know people call him different names. I don't completely understand that, because what do they call Jesus in, let's say, China? They don't call him Yeshua. What do they call him? Whatever Jesus is in Chinese. What do they call him in Mexico? It's not Yeshua. Jesucristo. I'm sure I'm saying that all wrong. What do they call him in other places? So I don't understand some of these other things. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't understand it, and I have yet to hear a good argument for it. Jesus did it all on the cross for me, and I don't understand. It seems like I'd be going backwards to do these other things. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at on some of that. And if you do, look, I'm not critical of anybody else out there. And for the others out there that obviously are thinking, oh, you hate Jews. No, I don't. No, I don't. They need Jesus too. And all you people out there that are saying, and believe it or not, there are people out there on TV saying it, like, I think John Hagee's one of them. Oh, they don't need Jesus. And he had another guy saying, well, yeah. They need, you're doing the worst disservice in the world to these people by not telling them that you're chosen by God and you don't need Jesus.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I can see a double-edged sword for a whole lot of this stuff. And I see a whole lot of deception going on in other areas as well. And the more I examine, the more I study for myself, not taking some pastor or just because a guy has PhD or doctor or whatever, doesn't give that person a greater share of common sense. In my experience, most of those people are walking nincompoops that I've observed. So I'm going to examine, like the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. And I don't believe I need to farm that out and have other people do it for me. So my own study is leading me to places that I didn't know existed. And it's quite the journey. So I'm not being critical of anybody else out there. I'm just saying for my own study, it just ain't panning out for me. All right, y'all. Hopefully all of this makes sense. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Always catches the worm.